The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You want some bad news, Michael?
No.
What are you asking me?
You're the guru of the gray matter. I figured if anybody had it, you'd have the answer.
I can't give you any direction.
I think I'm going to have to change this channel. I'm sorry.
You're completely wrong.
I refuse to be wrong on two calls in a row.
Tell me I'm spot on or tell me I'm crazy and I'll get out.
I have no idea.
I have a six-month-old, so we'll be raising him according to Dr. Ray.
Talk about being a winner.
So, you want my question?
You ain't making any sense.
You're absolutely right. I just needed confirmation.
So what are you going to do about it, Dawn?
I'm calling you.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Dr. Ray, the only host in all of Catholic radio. I can take days off your stay in purgatory because I can be so irritating to listen to. Some days I take more days off than others, but you can't predict what days those are going to be. So logic would dictate, Captain, in the words of Mr. Spock of the original Star Trek series, logic would dictate, Captain, that you need to listen as often as you can, because you would never know when you get a bonus day or two off of purgatory, because I may say something agitatingly upsetting. Very nice to have you with me. Dr. Ray Grandy here, program The Doctor Is In. Dispensing a powerful drug, potent drug, Docazin. Now, that drug went off patent probably a couple years ago. So you can get it now in the generic, the tricyclonol. It is dispensed interorally, not orally, aurally, A-U-R-A-L-L-Y, through the ear. And it is potent. It's very potent. So be very, very careful in absorbing it. But you develop a tolerance for it. That does happen. And it's a tolerance you want. You want your system to be filled up with it. So to get a direct dose, intravenous, 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. Questions, comments, helpful suggestions about the stuff of life. I was at the office this morning, be at the office, God willing, tomorrow. And that's what I do professionally. I'm a clinical psychologist. And there I can explore and probe and ask all kinds of questions. Here I don't do that. But I think maybe we can come up with something that can help a little bit, give you a little cascade effect, change something in your life, and it has ripples throughout other places in your life. Happens a lot. Happens a lot. 877-57-EQUAL. When you've been shrinking as long as I have, and I've been shrinking over 40 years, used to be 6'9", you pretty much hear everything. And you pretty much hear everything many times. And there are certain things, for me anyway, that are very difficult to wrap my head around. One I've talked about before on this program, which is people moving toward the very end of their lives and still not paying any attention to the question, is there a God and what about Christ? They just seem to go to the very end of their existence. I can sort of understand 25-year-olds doing that. They just figure life stretches out in front of them nearly infinitely. But 85-year-olds who don't, boggles my mind. Self-interest would dictate that you would look into this. But there's another one. There's another one I really, really, as I get older, cannot wrap my head around. That is the idea. And you don't have to be religious to have this idea. That it is a great, indescribable wrong to kill a baby. To kill a child. Now, one might say, well, we don't really know when it's a child now, do we now? Do we know when it's going to be a child? Okay, let's leave it at that. My son said to me once, Dad, I can sort of understand. I don't agree with, but I can understand people who say first couple months of pregnancy, you know, it's not quite as formed as a human being, or if it's really, really tiny, okay. But he goes, I can't understand someone who thinks it's okay. It would be okay. It is legally permissible to kill that child as it is coming out of the birth canal. A fully formed baby. When I think about it, I have to calm myself down. We look at past cultures who sacrifice children. We make them look like chumps. What we do. And as I look at the Catholic vote, even those who are weekly mass attenders are sadly split up over the idea of, well, you know, I'm gonna vote this way because, well, yeah, I'm pro-life, but, you know, there's other issues there. I'm not a one-issue voter. Yeah. Huh. If someone said, well, I'm not a one-issue voter, but I perfectly agree that rape is okay, would you vote for him? Of course not. You are a one-issue voter. Depends what the issue is. Just so happens that nationwide permission, nationwide movement toward killing a child as it's being born is a big issue. Now, if you hate the other guy, then don't vote. If you're a Catholic, I mean, I've heard priests say this. I've heard priests say, well, you know, it's a seamless garment. There's a lot of other issues, and you got to consider all the other issues. You got to consider climate. You got to consider immigration. You got to consider ageism and racism and sexism and homophobia. You got to consider all that stuff. Yes, and people of goodwill can disagree on how to face and solve that stuff. How is it you can disagree on whether it's okay to kill a baby as it is being born? Dr. Ray, the number of children who are killed as being born is relatively small. It's less than 1%. That doesn't matter. What we're saying is it's okay. Doesn't matter if it happens, how often it happens. It's okay. We call ourselves Catholics. We call ourselves Christians. Now, I know there are those of you listening to me who totally disagree with what I'm saying. And I got to tell you, you boggle my mind. Because how can you say, I am a Christian? Life begins at conception. This has been the teaching of Christianity since the beginning. But yet, in our culture, at our time and place, well, even though I might not think that's okay, I'm gonna vote for people and put them in power that do think it's okay. What? Well, I just can't bring myself to vote the other way. Well, then don't vote at all then. I've heard priests say things like, neither political party really reflects Catholic teaching fully. Well, I agree with that, of course. The question is not neither political. The question is which party conforms closer to some of the Catholic Church's teachings. I'm not about to push my morals on anybody else. I personally believe that sanctity of life is important, but who am I to push my morals upon anybody else? What? This is not pushing morals. This is pushing killing. It's not a matter of morals. It's a matter of social justice. Is it okay to kill another human being? And no one can argue that a baby coming out of the birth canal is not another human being. Dr. Ray, that doesn't happen very often. Well, the stats are it happens less than 1% of the time. That's not the point. The point is we're saying it's okay. If it does happen, it's okay. I cannot wrap my head around this. You don't have to be religious to look at what it is. You don't have to be a traditional faith-filled Catholic to look at what it is. You don't have to be a Christian to look at what it is. There's many denominations out there, especially the more mainlines, that say it's a woman's choice. You don't have to be a certain type of Christian to look at this and say, is it okay or is it not to give someone permission, even though they may not use that permission, to kill a child as it is coming out of the birth canal? You don't want to see pictures of partial birth abortion. I showed this to a Catholic friend once, and I know how she viewed things, and she wouldn't look at it. She said, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. Get that away from me. I go, why? Why would you not want to see what you are saying is okay for our culture to legalize? Do I sound hot? You're right, I do. I can't fathom this. I cannot fathom it. The Catholic vote splits 50-50, roughly. I can see that because many of those Catholics have not stepped inside a church, or if they have, they kind of define the Catholic faith as they define it. Okay, I can understand that. But among people who say, no, I'm a faithful Catholic, or among priests even, I know there's priests who vote in a way that does not support pro-life. That's not the only issue. I keep saying that. You're absolutely right. It is not the only issue. But it's one big one. I always use this example. Let's say that I want to own a slave. And the person who I want to own says, I'll own that. Let's just try to make that legal so that I have permission. Now, most people wouldn't want to do that, okay? But I would, and maybe some other people would. So why don't we make it legal? Would you say, well, I'm personally against owning a slave, but, you know, who am I to kind of push that on anybody else? No, you wouldn't. You say, that's terrible. I got to do that. Exactly. I don't get it. I've heard many I respect, priests I respect, who are holy men, who it boggles my mind that they can think the way they do on this particular aspect. There's many other issues about life and the importance of life and the importance of handling poverty and making sure we welcome the immigrants and making sure we don't kill the world and making sure there's no nuclear war. Yes, those are all things that we need to solve and work at. But I dare say they're not as immediate as right now saying, you have permission to kill a baby. And never before has anyone in our political history based their perspective on this is what we're going to support all the way to the end. This is not a political show. But at the same time, part of me has always said, look at how you think. Don't think in cliches. Don't think what the culture says. Look, this is the way you're supposed to view this. If you disagree with me on this, you call in. Because I want to hear your thinking. I want to hear your rationale. Because I will tell you this, of the many, 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 many people I have talked about with this, I have not heard a convincing rationale. I've heard sound bites. Woman's choice. Woman's decision. Woman's caring, doing with her own body what nobody else could tell her to do. Oh, yeah, they tell her to wear her seatbelt. That's her own body. They tell her you can't put drugs in it. That's her own body. If you go to the doctor and you say, it's my own body, cut my thumb off. Would he say, well, it's your body, okay. I don't agree with that, but I'll cut your thumb off. Of course not. So this whole it's my body thing doesn't hold up. None of it holds up. A colleague of mine said, anything can be a justification for what you really want to do anyway. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call. Dr. Ray.
Hello, Steve Ray here. Hard to believe it's already been 20 years of leading Catholic pilgrimages. So we're going to celebrate with a Danube River cruise. We've chartered our own ship, We'll share meals and enjoy good Catholic fellowship together. We hope you can join us next June through Budapest, Vienna, Salzburg, Prague, and a whole lot more. But sign up quick. It's already more than half full.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Did you know my mom's gonna have a baby? We heard the heartbeat and my dad said this is gonna be someone very special.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. We hope you'll consider supporting the work of Pro-Life Across America. Your gift will help offer life-saving alternatives to those in need. Visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or like us on Facebook.
Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian prayer series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
I'm better now. Although I did get a text from a loyal listener, and this is what the text said. It said, "Careful, Ray, although I agree with you." And my question back, and I wrote back, I said, "Why do I have to be careful?" See, that's part of the problem here. Then I got another one that said, "There's too much division." So, wait a minute. For there not to be division, do I have to agree that this is good? I can just imagine somebody saying to St. Peter when he was preaching our Lord, saying, "Hey, Pete, you know, I'm with you on some of that stuff, but there's some of it I don't buy." And Peter gone, "Well, we don't have to, we need to have unity here. We don't need to have division." Peter would say, Peter would say, no, here's what we're teaching, and this is, if you want to accept this, then you can be with us, but you can't make your own decisions about this. All right, there's some interesting questions that came up at the very top of the program here while I was ranting. No, I'm not going to say that, because if I say ranting, what that does is that trivializes what I said. Yeah, he's just ranting. No, I don't think so. As I was speaking about things I just don't understand as a psychologist. Well, let's go to Ian from Pennsylvania. He's got a question here. Hi, Ian.
Hey. How are you doing today?
Okay, sir. What's up?
Yeah, I'm perplexed. Are there really priests out there that teach that it's not okay to be homophobic and at the same time teach that it's okay to support abortion?
Not in that sense. They'll be very clear that the Catholic Church is a pro-life church. I have not heard a priest in my experience say, "No, we are not pro-life." I've not heard that. What I don't understand is when some of them, and I don't think this is a majority, but I've had heard it, where they have said, you need to consider other things in your vote. That's where I think the confusion for me has come in.
Yeah, because okay. That confuses me too, especially when it comes to homophobia, because doesn't the church teach that homosexuality is a sin, so therefore is it homophobic that...
Okay, hold on a second. Now, see, watch, Ian. Watch your language there. You called it homophobic. So what you're saying is if someone morally disagrees or if the church morally teaches against certain behaviors, that somehow that's phobic. Somehow they're afraid. Somehow they are bigoted toward that. Would the church be sexophobic if they say you don't have physical relations before marriage? Is that sexophobic? No, it's a teaching. If the church says you don't divorce your wife for no reason that is acceptable, then are they divorced? Are they marriageophobic? No. See, that is how there's a favorite phrase of mine. Linguistic engineering precedes social engineering, which means if you capture the language, you can capture thinking. So if you call something homophobic because you say the church teaches that that kind of behavior is not morally acceptable, they're phobic, they're bigoted. No, they're not attacking the person. They're not saying that person's going to rot in hell. They're not saying we hate that person. They're not saying that person isn't welcome in our church. They're not saying any of those things. Church has kind of done backflips trying to get past that accusation. But at the same time, what they're saying is we can't compromise the idea that sex belongs in marriage. Ian, thank you. Teresa, Pennsylvania. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Dr. A.
What's up?
So, obviously, I'm a pro-life Catholic, but the thing that bothers me is back in 1962 when my birth mother was pregnant with me before it was legal, she knew exactly where to get an abortion, and she told me that she had considered it. She didn't live that far from New York City, and she knew what to do, but her parents talked her into adoption, which I'm grateful for, of course.
Because you're alive.
Because I'm alive, yeah. And I've raised a beautiful family, and I'm grateful to God for everything he's given me. But my comment to the pro-choice people is, how does my life have value? If my life didn't have value when my mother was pregnant with me and she could have chose to kill me and there would have been a whole horde of people that would have been happy to take her, then how does my life have value now? Like, what made the difference?
You're right.
And when I say that to people, they're like, well, no. And I'm like, well, then you can just kill me right now, right? Because my life doesn't have value.
Didn't have value then. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And they did a survey.
If you get any pro-choice.
They did a survey of several thousand PhD biologists around the world. And they said, when does life begin? 96% said at the moment of conception. So this idea that, well, we really don't know when life begins. Well, the PhD biologists do. So does your basic textbook in a high school. Teresa, thank you. That's a beautiful thought. Appreciate that so very, very much. Let's go to some calls here, too. Whitney is calling from Spirit Catholic Radio, Lincoln, Nebraska. Yo, Whitney, what's up?
Well, unrelated to voting, I'm about to vote, but I agree with your monologue and just had to say the whole my body, my choice thing was, it didn't seem to apply when the whole COVID vaccinations were in play. You probably made that.
That's true.
Before,
that's exactly right. Well, somebody would say, you know what they'd say? You know what they'd argue on that, Whitney? They would say, that the reason is because your choices affected my body. That's what they would say. So, but go ahead.
Oh, sure. But yeah, that's a whole can of worms we don't need to open. But so my question is about my mother-in-law trying to find a graceful way to address a topic that my son is pretty severe allergies, and
Whitney, I blew this. I got the music coming up here. It's going to stop me. So you stay right there, if you will, through the break. I'll pick you up on the other side because the music rules. That's the way it is. I don't rule. The music rules because Andrew Krucek controls it all over there. 877-573-7825. Anonymous from Oregon. Come on back. We'll get you back up. 877-57-EQUAL. We'll be right back.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We are given many gifts. Everyone is different. And yet when we embrace them, when we accept our gifts and use them as God wants them to be used, His will, not ours, those crosses turn into gifts from which we can learn, grow, and who knows, maybe have an entirely different life than what we planned. Such as the case with me. I never in a million years expected to be in Catholic radio. Never even knew it existed. So the next time you're questioning or struggling, say, okay, God, what can I do with this? What am I supposed to do? Don't bury it. Don't put God in a box and see what He does with that gift, which sometimes comes in the shape of a cross.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Is there a universal call to prayer? The Catholic Catechism tells us man is in search of God. God, in the act of creation, called every being into existence from nothingness. Even after man sinned and lost his likeness to God, he remained an image of his Creator and never lost his desire for the one who called him into existence. All religions attest to man's essential search for God. The Catechism points out, however, that God calls us first to that mysterious encounter, prayer. God always initiates. Man's first step in the process is to respond. Prayer is a reciprocal call. Throughout the whole history of salvation, the covenant drama unfolds. The revelation of prayer in the Old Testament comes between the fall and the restoration of man. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Dr. Ray here. Very glad to be with you.
That's your opinion, Dr. Ray, in your opening man.
Like, it's not my opinion. The church's opinion. People say that.
Well, that's your opinion.
No. No, this is what the church teaches. If it was just my opinion, you're absolutely right. You could just simply say, you got your opinion, I got my opinion. But if you say, I'm not Catholic, so I don't care, well, I can't argue with you there. But if you say, I am Catholic, well, then now your opinion has to be formed by church teaching. I'm talking to Whitney from Lincoln, Nebraska. She's calling from Spirit Catholic Radio. Her son has some pretty severe allergies, especially perfume. Now, Whitney's saying, I've asked my mother-in-law a number of times to please stop wearing this, but she still does. So Whitney says, I don't know what her motive is. Right, Whitney?
Yeah, I just, she didn't wear it when she came over to babysit, but then when we went to, like, a party, she had it on. So it's, my husband thinks it's me that I just don't like it, but I'm really concerned because it gives him a horrible rash when she, because she loves him so much, she hugs and kisses him, and then he gets a rash from it. So just trying to find a graceful way to address the topic without offending her.
Has she seen the rash?
Yeah, and she is like, I don't know what this is from.
Oh. Have you told her he gets a rash? He loves when you hug him. Approach it from that perspective. He just loves you so much. He loves to hug and kiss you, but he's getting nervous about it now because he gets a rash if you wear a certain perfume. Can you tell her that? Instead of saying...
He's only one, so...
Oh, okay. Well, that changes things. He can't say anything. Then now it's going to fall back on you. You can say I think he loves his grandma an awful lot. I can tell by the way he just loves to cuddle and hug her. But he comes away with a rash if you're wearing it. And you just tell her that. But your husband doesn't agree with you.
No, he does. Because he's the one who's asked her, and then he asked Grandpa to ask her. And I don't know if she just forgets or if we're just going to have to keep reminding her.
Can you smell it when she comes over? Can you say, oh, okay, that's the perfume?
Yeah. Well, I'm also, like, 10 weeks pregnant, so I'm like hypersensitive to smells. But okay. Yeah, I very much can smell it.
All right. So if you do, and you can say gently, I don't know if you call her mom or not. If you call your mother-in-law mom, mm-hmm. that really helps. It really does help. I called my mother-in-law mom from the day I was engaged to my wife. But if you say to her, Mom, he breaks out in a rash. I know you love that perfume, and it's a good perfume, and you smell great, but he breaks out in a rash. I gotta think if she loves that little guy, she's not gonna deliberately say, well, I don't care what you think because I don't like you as a daughter-in-law, so therefore I think you're just an overreacting wench, and I'm just gonna wear what I want to wear. Do you think it's that?
No, well, her husband, that's the Christmas present every year, is a new bottle of the perfume.
Oh, he likes it, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, the perfume in itself isn't bad. It's just when she wears it when she's going to be around your little guy. I suppose you're best off, if your husband's willing to do it, Whitney, to have your husband mm-hmm. say this to him. He's probably got a lot more leverage than you do. Yeah. Say, Mom, I got to tell you. Man, we just love the fact of the relationship you got with that little guy. He loves you, and you can see it forming. Mm-hmm. But he comes away with a rash every time.
Yeah, this would be like the fifth time he's going to have that conversation, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess then maybe I'd say to him, Mom, what are you doing? You know this yeah. happens. Why are you still doing this? Now it changes the whole focus.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Just accentuating that he loves her hugs and kisses.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. Well, all right. Thank you. And right. keep going with your monologue. People need to be convicted. So.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I know there are people listening that could, in fact, just because of that, this is what's interesting, Whitney, just because I was so definitive in offering my perspective and my rationale on this, there will be those people who will say, I will never listen to him again. And that proves my point, which is,
they'll come back.
You can say, okay, I think the guy's a jerk. I don't agree with him, but I've been listening to him for 3 years. Now, what was it about the 3 years that I liked? And now all of a sudden he said something I don't agree with. So I'm out of here. That's like, what have we become?
Well, it's moral relativism, though. I don't know if you remember, I called in with my 102-year-old friend, Mary Margaret. Got to bring her up. She made the point, what do these girls think is going to happen? You have to be conscious of your actions. So it's just, it's hard. It's a hard line you got to toe, I guess.
Whitney, I'm going to give you an award here that we've never given to anybody else. Nobody has called in with questions that span a century, a 1-year-old and a 102-year-old. Nobody.
Yeah, you gotta appreciate those people.
All righty, Whitney, thank you for the
like
call.
Mary Margaret. Thank you. God
Alrighty.
Bless you.
You're welcome. Okay, look, I'm going to take Matt. But I know that we're going to bump up against the clock, but I don't want to talk for the next 2 minutes. Although, wait a minute, ma'am, no way I will. Matt, stay there. I'm going to touch you after the break. Here's what I wanted to say. I gave a presentation at a pregnancy center in Iowa a few days back. I asked the director, do the moms who come in and they see the ultrasound, do they say that, well, do any of them say, I'm considering placing my child for adoption to have a mom and a dad because right now I don't have a dad? She said the mindset of virtually all of them is, I would rather abort my baby than to give it away. You see what the culture has done? 40 years ago, adoption was not low dog on unwed, pregnant, stress-filled pregnancies. It was not. It was an option. Now it's completely low dog. It's a sign of if you do that, you are completely irresponsible. If the baby is killed, you're not. Ooh, okie dokie. Well, I got about 20 seconds. Let me read this. Our longtime EWTN radio partner, WOPG AM and FM. They're serving Greater Albany and Schenectady. I pronounced that right. New York. Celebrating 14 years on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Thomas and Laura Threlkeld. Great team at Pox and Bonum Radio. You know, whoever wrote that, Tom Price, I didn't need you to spell out Pox and Bonum. I know how to pronounce Pox and Bonum. Phonetically. So congratulations to you. Wonderful. Thanks for staying all these years. Many more.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you're on a football team, you don't want to just run up and down the field holding the ball and never cross into the end zone and get a touchdown. We want to reach our goal, but there are a lot of obstacles, discouragement, and challenges along the way. Jesus' voice is the one calling us to say yes to Him, to live the life that He is calling us to live. We have to choose one way or the other, choose Him or not. But if we choose Him, we will be opposed. We're going to have people challenge what we believe or call us crazy. But Jesus doesn't just say, come follow me, to follow a beatitude. He's calling us to be like Himself. He is the Beatitudes. He doesn't just say, do what I say. He says, come follow me. He's with us every step of the way, transforming our weakness into strength. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Got a lot of questions here regarding my opening monologue, but I do want to go to Matt from Marion, Illinois. Niece moved away from college in a bad relationship. Matt's brother is like, oh boy, what do we do now? Hi, Matt.
Yeah, this is kind of a complex family situation that only you can help me untangle.
Only me? So that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Oh, and in 4 minutes, too.
Yes. So my niece is actually the one I'm calling about. So she's been in a toxic relationship with a guy who's not good for her. He demeans her, does the classic, trying to isolate her from everyone, encourages her not to leave her dorm room. So I was just wondering what kind of direction I can give my brother on how to move forward with this. And the complicating factor is he and his wife are divorced, and his wife is supporting the relationship and kind of using this as a weapon to further separate my brother from my niece.
Oh boy. That's definitely a complicating factor. So in other words, she supports this relationship.
Yes.
Well, I think the one thing your brother can do is to avoid telling her what he sees as a problem or problems in this relationship and just to question her. So what do you like about him? What is good about him? Tell me his good points. Is there anything that you're thinking you have to tolerate or put up with? Well, yeah, he doesn't want me to associate with my family. Do you want to do that? Well, you know, sometimes I have problems with my family, and he points out that there are problems. Okay, so are you willing to write him off totally? In other words, he's going to ask her, please explain and, in a way, defend this relationship. Say it out loud. I want to hear it. That's what he does. He doesn't go in there and say, you know, I got real reservations about this guy. Because she'll just say, you don't know him, Dad. You don't know him like I know him. So what he needs to do is to say, let me understand what it is about this relationship that is so appealing to you. And then he can kind of move off on, well, does he not want you to leave your dorm if he's not with you? I mean, what is that? How does that happen? Kind of thing. That's the one thing he can do. He can kind of play a I don't understand role kind of thing.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, suggestion I appreciate your help.
I did it in under 4 minutes, too. That's the other thing, you know.
That's why I called you.
Thanks, Matt, for the call, buddy. All righty. What else we got? Let's go to Jill. She's calling from Connecticut. She has a comment. I don't know why she had to do this. Jill, how is it that you had to take those pictures?
Oh, my spiritual director asked me to go into this place because I had to bring something there that was completely unrelated to abortion. He said, while you're in there, I want you to take pictures and get all the information you can for me for these seminarians, because I want to teach them about what's going on.
Ooh, didn't you get in legal trouble?
Oh, no. Nope. It was amazing. Honestly, one of the priests out of the blue said to me, hey, you know, you should pray to Saint Paul. You know, remember when they were let out of prison and nobody saw them? I'm going to pray for you for that. I swear, I just got in and out. Nobody saw anything. So, anyway, I took pictures of the things that were on the wall, not of any data, of any people or patient information or anything. But so what was on the wall was just like, for example, this plaque all done in gold with signatures, you know, proudly trained in abortion, and you know, can it's this, you know, it's one of those, you know, you see doctors with that on the back of their wall. You know, I've got my degree from this place and that place, or outstanding achievement. Well, this was outstanding achievement in aborting children. So that was one of them. The other thing they had on the wall was these articles from, and it was kind of strange. It was African American women who were dressed in priest collars, who were standing, you know, and I don't know, and then just giving their whole take on, you know, don't worry, you know, God will forgive you. It's okay. You know, sometimes it's just not time for you to have a child, or it's not convenient for you, but, you know, you don't have to worry. God will forgive you. And, you know, it's just, it was creepy thing after creepy thing in there. And I placed a bunch of miraculous medals per the, my spiritual director. But, I think a lot of, and the other thing is, you know, they're taking the bodies of these kids and they're throwing them in trash bags, and there's, you know, there's so many more details, but not something you want to say all on the air. But I don't think people really realize what's really going on there. It looks all rosy with the, oh, it's your choice, but I don't think they really understand what's really happening in that industry. And through my job, I sure got a view of it, I try to let people know as much as possible about what's really happening in these places.
One of the things that has also boggled my mind is the fact that we went in a generation or two from abortion is not a good thing, although we can understand under certain conditions, at certain pressures, that people feel compelled to do it. We've gone from that to we celebrate this now. This is something that is good, and even quote-unquote holy, and we celebrate it. That's something that needs to be taken into account for all of us Catholics who say, well, you know, it's just one issue. Yeah, we celebrate that issue. Thank you, Jill. I appreciate it so very, very much. Okay, well, I don't want to deal with too much politics. However, Annette from Michigan, she challenged her priest to talk more about pro-life issues. He says it's difficult for him because he knows so many women who have had abortions in the congregation. Hi, Annette.
Oh, hi, Dr. Ray.
How does he say he would juggle that if he knows? It's kind of interesting because that means he can't talk about divorce either, because there's probably a boatload of people in that congregation who have divorced and remarried. So
yeah, I didn't challenge him on that, but I bet you he'd respond with saying there is annulment. And I just listen very polite.
Yeah, but they don't have annulments. And he knows that.
There's at least a process. But one time I challenged him, and at first I didn't buy it.
Don't challenge him. Ask him. Say, Father.
Well, no, I did. Okay, I said, and that was his response. His response was, there are so many women that he knows that are sitting in the pew that have had abortions. And at first I didn't buy it. And this was several years ago, but when you look at the number of abortions and how many women that is and how many men, I think some priests struggle with that. And that's all I wanted.
Okay. And that's a good point. Okay. Let me answer that. I think that would be a wonderful springboard for him to talk about forgiveness, because he's got to figure, of those women who have had abortions, some of them are not forgiving themselves. Some of them feel so wretchedly racked with guilt that how could God ever forgive them, when they look at another little baby and they think, that's what my child could have been. So if he could tie the two together and say, in part, this is why the church teaches what it does, because not only is one life ended, but another life can be tragically hurt. And our Lord forgives everything, and maybe he could come from that angle, so he could sort of cover two topics with one homily. That's one thing I'm thinking, Annette. Well, thank you. That's a very, very good point. Thank you, dear, so very much. This is Dr. Ray. I'll get to your calls here in a second. I got to take a break.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Oh, love it. Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it. Oh, shoot. Oh, we had a comment, and I would have Oh, I would have jumped on it immediately. The comment was, stop judging people. Wow. See, that's another one I should have answered. It's not a matter of judging anyone. This is basically saying that if you agree that this is good, or that you agree it should be permitted, it's not a matter of the woman who does this. We're saying, you're going to hell, you know. You're an evil, awful person. There's nothing in what I said that was that. But the fact that that comment says, stop judging people. In other words, okay, so if you want to use cocaine and it's only affecting you, go ahead. I don't want to judge you. I don't want to. Cocaine's good for you. Go ahead. You want to have an adulterous relationship and it makes you happy, and okay, go ahead. It's not a matter of judging anyone. It's essentially saying, what is the reason that the church teaches what she does about this? How is this logical? How does this make biologic sense? That was the whole point. But the fact that somebody hears you saying, you're judging. You see what we've become? We've just become, you can't even speak and say, here is a moral perspective. Here's why I agree with the church. Here's why it makes sense. You can't say that. If you do that, you're a judgmental bigot. Isn't that interesting? The arguments were not answered. The personal accusation came. Granger from Lincoln, Nebraska. Yo, Granger.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Come to the phone, sir. Come to the light side.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I had a comment, and it was just kind of about the, I think I heard J.D. Vance say in the debate that, oh, okay, it's going to be up to the states. And then each state can be a little more pro-life, a little more pro-abortion, and they all get to choose. And, you know, okay, that sounds decent. But what I've seen, I'm in Nebraska, is there is the same ballot initiative in all 10 states that have pro-life or pro-abortion stuff to vote on today. And
yes,
and so it's like, it's not really up to the people. The people aren't choosing the language in these, except for the pro-life ones. They're being chosen for them. They're being manipulated and deceived by like Planned Parenthood or these giant, whatever agenda they have.
I think that was unforeseen. Granger, this goes to show you the law of unintended consequences. There was great rejoicing among the pro-life people when Roe v. Wade was overturned as bad constitutional law, and it was returned to the states to decide. Everybody said, okay, good, like you said. Some states are more pro-life, conservative, some are less. Okay. Well, what happened is nobody foresaw that huge amounts of money were going to come pouring into the states to attempt to get into the Constitution abortion all 9 months. That's what happened in Ohio. Ohio's a pretty conservative state. But that constitutional amendment, which is virtually almost impossible to overturn now, was passed 57 to 43. It was crushed in its passing. So you're right. Nobody saw it coming. And I read, when I went to vote, I read that amendment. You couldn't understand it. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Nobody's going to read that whole thing. It went through pages. And the amount of money poured into Ohio to push for that, and the deception was, if you don't vote for this, all abortion will not be allowed. And of course, people said, wait a minute now, hold on a second there. And that's what has happened. And that's you're absolutely right, Granger. If it is 10 states, I didn't know how many it quite was, but I knew they were marching through the states. And the states that already have abortion all the way up. And isn't it interesting? Europe is much more conservative about this. Europe, who's much less religious, supposedly, than the U.S., has much more conditions on abortion. What's happening in the U.S. is we are pulling even with China and North Korea in not having any restrictions on abortions as it is sweeping through. You're exactly right. That's what's happening. I think it'll continue to happen. We'll see. Thanks, Ranger. Barbara, I didn't get to you. You call back. I'd love to talk to you. This is Dr. Ray. Appreciate so very much. A very feisty one. But I don't judge people. Not at all. That is God's call. But one must judge conduct, or one simply cannot be a Christian. Walk with God.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.